It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Here we are at the end of July already. Summer is flying by. I hope you've had a great time on your grill. I know I have. Had several events, which I call them, but they're basically just people coming over to swim. And then you end up cooking a bunch of food for them. And that's a good thing. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. We're here to tighten up your grilling program. And that's the best thing we can do. But today we're going to be talking about wine, so maybe we can tighten up your wino program.
Well, I need to stop whining because I had a rough week last week. We had a little leak in a sliding glass door, so we bought another sliding glass door and have a contractor. We'd set it up weeks ago, so this was the week he was going to come over and just supposed to be a Monday. Monday afternoon just to pop it in. And I will tell you that 22 feet of the back of my house is wide open to America right now. They had to remove walls. They had to take other windows out. We had a roofing problem. This is a 1950s home. And evidently what somebody did is where a window was, they just decided to put a slider in to have access to the backyard and didn't properly flash it. And the whole back of that house, 22 feet of it, is rotted wood, carpenter ants, the whole mess, man.
And, well, water does that.
That's right. And it wasn't a week or two. It was years of this stuff. And so we're upgrading. And but anyway, the only positive out of this whole thing is I'm getting a dog door, so Shotzi's going to be able to let herself in and out on this, which is something that I wanted to do anyway. So you know what? I'm going to focus on the bright side of all of this. It's only money. I'll make some more.
Yep.
And we're dealing with the insurance company too, so we'll see how that all goes. I might get some help there.
Well, I'm headed this afternoon with my best girl. And we're going over to Fenville, and right now we're sampling a little of Fenville's 2020 Sauvignon Blanc. What do you think of that?
I tell you what, it's really tasty.
For
it's
a white wine, that's right up my
alley.
And
it's not too sweet. It's their Sauvignon from the Lake Michigan shore. If you've not had Fen Valley wines, you really ought to give them a try because it's they're award-winning up and down their varietals, and they're reasonable.
Yep.
They're reasonably priced. They're you're gonna spend $15 to $30 for a bottle of wine, but it's a great value.
This was only like 12 or 14.
Yeah, right.
So anyway, this afternoon, my best girl and I are headed over there because they do these barbecue and grill out dinners all summer long, and you have to sign up way in advance. So if you want to do it, I would suggest you go on their website and book your spaces because they will sell out within the next couple weeks for the rest of the year. You won't find a spot. Matter of fact, I dare say you're going to get bumped into September right now if you try and get in. But so we went on the cancellation list a few weeks ago, and the nice young lady there called me and said, "Hey, I just had a cancellation for the 24th. And I said, "Perfect, give it to me." And I knew I was going to go over and see Brian in a couple days anyway. So that being said, it's the summer near the coast of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And go ahead and try all you want to get a room. I did find one for $400 a night. And it's a 12-mile drive. Now, if you're going to be drinking wine all afternoon, I don't think a 12-mile drive is a good idea. So I did some research, and of course my bride loves to camp, right? Come to find out, there's this cool little campground. Take the back roads. It's about 3 miles from Fen Valley. And I highly recommend this. If you like camping, try this place out. It's on a little lake. It's known for its equestrian trails, so a lot of horse people will be there.
Yep.
So that forced my hand into buying a new tent. We like those.
Oh, I thought you were going with the horse.
Coleman.
I thought you were going to buy a horse.
A Coleman Easy Ups. And if you've ever had a tent that gave you trouble, get a Coleman Easy Up because it's the easiest. It goes up in literally 60 seconds, you're done, if you're as good as we are. But it's all framed together. There's no rods to try and thread. It's not a backpacking tent. It's a little heavier, but it fits in a bag. It's pretty small, and I can stand up inside it. So we can fit our big king-size blow-up mattress in there, and I will not be on the ground.
Right, ever again. Yeah. It so took you a little more than 60 years to figure out you didn't want to sleep on the ground, but I'm glad you're finally there with me.
Well, no, it didn't take that long, but it only took my bride about 20 minutes to find this spot, and she went over there last night and put the tent up because it's a first-come, first-serve. And we're in like Flynn. There's a little lake there. It's just going to be great. So we get to hang out all afternoon and all night at Fen Valley.
Right.
Have a great grilled ribeye, which I will be grilling myself because they let you grill your own, which is really cool. So I'm bringing my own accessories, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to have some great wine. And I'm sure the good folks at Fen Valley have selected a good meat purveyor. It's not going to be junk.
Right.
Going to be a nice couple of ribeyes and some.
So you can buy the raw meat from them?
Well, they bring it out to you on a platter and, you know.
And you grill it.
Yep, when you're ready to grill. So it's very casual. You've been to an event there.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it's all I can say is, like, everybody is happy.
Sure.
It's the women are wearing long flowing dresses. The men are oogling them. No, it's. The men are generally, you kind of dress up a little bit for those things, right? It's a date. And
shorts and a camp shirt,
it's,
right?
It's, yep. Summer. It's summer. No, I, you know, it's going to be a
are
special.
Are you getting a seersucker out? Is that what you're saying?
That would be a great idea.
Yeah. And the white
with
hat.
With a matching hat and everything.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
I wish I had one. I would do that.
Yeah.
But it's so I'm really stoked. I'm so excited to be going. But they're good folks. And finding that campsite, the back roads, a couple miles away,
yeah.
How sweet is that?
Yeah, well, it was great. Good for you. So it's on a little private lake, a little private campground?
Is yeah, no, I think it's a county.
Oh, nice.
Be like Allegan County.
Good for you. I'd like to see you get all gussied up in the outhouse. So
no, it's got restrooms.
Running water, huh?
Yep.
Yeah.
We're just staying.
It's almost like good as a hotel then.
It is, except it's $24 instead of $400.
$100, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I was happy to find a room, but $400, boy, what would that buy?
Right.
I just bought shock for my pool and it was $150. So
yeah,
you know, I got to get a winter kit that'll be $250. So there's your $400.
Right. Yep.
So I can pay for my tent. And my campsite and still put $250 in my pocket or $230 in my pocket.
Yeah.
I'm all about putting it in my pocket right now.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you well. Because there's always something wanting to pull it out.
Yeah.
Right.
More than you can imagine.
Hey, I was up in Cadillac last weekend after I was up there Saturday and into Sunday and spent the day on Lake Cadillac and Lake Mitchell. A lot of really good summer stuff going on up there.
Love that area.
But don't you hate it when you've got your mouth all watering for something that you've ordered on a menu, and then it comes out and it's not anything like you thought it was going to be?
Yeah.
I had my first ever blackened salmon, but it wasn't ordered blackened. They had put a chutney on top of it, and I think the guy left it underneath like the little warmer that they you know they put.
You got blackened chutney?
Yeah, I did, and it was. Bad. And but I went to send it back and I'll remain nameless. Things happen. These restaurants are all struggling with people.
Yeah.
Right. But I went to send it back. They said it will be an hour before we can get you another one because it was a lakeside restaurant.
Go catch it.
Right. Well, it was a lakeside restaurant and you know, they were super busy and we were sitting outside. The atmosphere was wonderful.
Oh, I know where you were.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, man, it was like I just couldn't eat it.
I mean, grew up real close to there, so we spent a lot of summers in that area.
But anyway, so not complaining, just saying it's be careful because they did take it off the bill, but I was still hungry when I left. So things happen. another beer, everything's going to be okay.
Couldn't you scrape the chutney off?
Right, yeah, right.
Okay. Take it away, Jop.
Anyway, coming up next, we're going to skirt that issue and have us a steak. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com. Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids, and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. Hey, it's the Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in. Hope you got something fun going on this weekend. Doing some grilling and chilling. And pool's ready. Contractors are at my house. They're throwing dirt and dust in it. And I just keep that filter on and we'll pull it out of there. But they're going to be done soon. So anyway,
yeah, whatever. Speaking of pools, you said that. And I ran out of shock. And I had it covered for a week of rain.
You know what? We did, too.
And, I'll tell you what. I had to put a lot of pH increaser and alkaline increaser in. And yeah. Fortunately, I have large stocks of all that stuff. But I was out of shock. So I went and got a nice big bucket of shot. It's called TKO. It's really good stuff. And it's looking good now, which is great.
Did it get a little greasy on the bottom? That's what happened on ours. And we ended up doing it with algicide, but it was the exact same thing. We didn't swim for like a week because it was raining. It was almost warm enough to swim, but not really. And then when we took it off the first day to take a swim, it was like, oh, man.
Well, we have that little Wally that we put in there, right. And he does a good job. But so I don't know what the bottom felt like. I didn't even go in, but it's a toasty 83 degrees, and everybody's happy. And we've had company like nonstop. We've got it there right now. We had a party yesterday for Jordan's girlfriend's family came over, and it's fun. I got that.
That's what it's for.
The kids bought me like a Vitamix, I think it's called. It's a beautiful, high-end, American-made blender.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, the thing is gorgeous. And I was making pina coladas and daiquiris and margaritas, frozen margaritas, and people floating in the pool, and that's just fun.
Yep, you know that. I brought mine over. That margarita maker is getting a ton of use this summer.
So
frosty drinks are good.
Yes. So
they go well with skirt steak.
Don't
right?
stop whining is the theme to the show because it's all about the wine being a Fenn Valley week for us.
Yep.
And I have not tried this recipe. I literally found it online, and it looked to die for. I changed it a little bit, of course, because I didn't like some of the things they were doing. But I'm hoping to try this out in the next week or two. But, you know, who doesn't like a nicely cooked steak anyway? And it's when it's being cooked using wine, I think it just is going to take it to another level because you cook with wine.
Yes, I do. Sometimes I even put it in the recipe. Right? No.
So this is a skirt steak, which, I mean, is just a really cool piece of meat anyway. Something I think we all picked up from the southern states and Texas and Mexico. They're bigger down there. But it's going to have a little bit of oil in a skillet, and then we're gonna put some sea salt and pepper on that thing, and we're going to throw it down in about a 20-ounce skirt steak. You might want to cut it in half because it's easier to handle, easier to get in a pan. And you're going to brown it on each side until it gets to 130, and that's medium rare. And that's for a skirt steak, that's all you want to take it to. If you happen to get a thicker skirt steak, you can count on a little bit longer, but the nice thing about this is it's so thin that it cooks really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying you're going to have 8 to 10 minutes on each side, max. And you're going to do this in a skillet with oil.
Like a cast skillet.
Yeah. Anything. Yeah, like a nice lodge cast skillet would be great. And then you're going to have some shallots, mustard seed, some sprigs of thyme, and you're going to chop those up and put them in the remaining juices that are in the pan and lightly saute them. And while that steak's going to be resting on the cutting board.
Right.
When you get the thyme and the mustard seeds rolling around in there, not too long, but the mustard seeds, you're going to see they're going to turn color a little bit and they'll be toasted. That's when you're done. And then you're going to also put in a little bit of zest of lemon and 2 tablespoons of some good Michigan butter and cook that little bit up. And have that steak. I would honestly cut that skirt on a bias against the grain. It'll be real easy to see because you haven't cooked it much. And cut it on a nice 45 so that it's going to make a pretty presentation. And then you take this mixture and out of your pan and just pour it nicely over that steak for your finish.
Mm-hmm.
And
little au jus almost.
It's going to look so good.
Yeah. Yep. And the butter will brown up a little bit. Yep. And it'll be a little bit nutty flavored. Ooh.
You're also adding, I forgot the best part, a half cup of vino blanco. And that comes in a tall can. So about a half a can of that and the other half for you.
Yep. White wine. Yeah.
I almost forgot the reason it's on this list.
Well, maybe the Vino Blanco never hit the steak and it was only in your glass. I don't know.
It could be. Well, and I haven't made this, so I'm kind of going from my research and not history.
Right.
But to me, it just looked beautiful. There's so many great recipes to cook with wine.
Right.
We're going to cover one in the fourth segment or maybe next segment. There's a bunch of cool ways to cook with wine, and I think it's overlooked. I think we forget that. Port. I mean, I picked up a half a case of port at Fen Valley.
I know your bride loves that, the port. It's a little too sweet for me.
You know, the funny thing is it's me that loves it. She doesn't drink it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess I'm confused. I thought it was her.
No, because I think it's like the ultimate wine to have with a cigar. And I like it in the winter.
Right.
When I got a fire, either out in the garage or... I can't smoke a cigar by the fireplace too easily unless Maureen's gone for the weekend.
Right.
And I do all the time. And she can't even tell when she gets home. Her nose is so bad.
Oh. Yeah, I still got COVID snout. I can't smell a thing, man. It's all good.
But whatever. A nice glass of port. There's another thing Fen Valley is just phenomenal at. And I'm not trying to do a Fen Valley ad, but really they're our sponsor. And this whole weekend I'm doing nothing but Fen Valley. So it just makes sense. But I don't know if a lot of people maybe never tried a port. Comes in a small bottle, so it's a little pricey, but I don't really know how they make it. I just know that it's a red, and it's on the sweet side, and it's very potent.
Yeah.
You have special little port glasses. I have a set of port glasses that are dainty little things that mm-hmm. I drink it from, and I feel sophisticated.
Yeah, well, I think maybe around. After you drink enough of it, your eyes start to squint, and it looks like you're looking through a porthole, right? Maybe that's where that came from.
Sitting around in my boxer shorts with a cigar and a glass of port.
Right. That visual just went bad in a hurry.
I'm just so bad
in a hurry. All right. So Bob wants to talk about wine uses other than drinking. So we're going to
disagree.
Do that.
I can tell by the.
It doesn't matter to me, man. We're talking about wine. It's all good. It's all good. I'm going to talk about a little salmon in wine because I got one in mind for that. So
okay.
Stick with us. We'll be back.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat, and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I tell no lies. And do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out, and have no doubt, the Grillin' Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You gotta listen to the Grillin' Guys Show. That's it.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Wine Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're gonna stop whining pretty soon, but we are talking about wine today. And we thought we might touch on a little bit about how to cook with wine and maybe not drink the whole bottle while you're cooking.
Well,
but
I think
maybe
we're going to drink this whole bottle while we're doing the show. What do you think of that?
Well,
I buy this Sauvignon Blanc for my best girl, and I never drink it. And I'd have to say, I haven't had it in an awful long time, and I'm now going to change that habit.
I like it cold. I like it chilled.
Yeah, and I tried to get this cold, but
I grabbed it
and put it in some ice on the way over here. But I grabbed the wrong bottle. I was going to bring you a new one they have. It's this cool summer white. It's a Muscat, and I have Muscat plants on my property, my vineyard, and I do nothing with the grapes.
Right.
I threaten to make wine every year, but
instead you make a trip to Fenn Valley.
I do.
Right.
And that's what Doug Welch.
And they kind of do it better than I could.
And that's
what
Doug Welch told me. Why are you planting grape? Just get it from me.
Right.
And he was right.
Yeah.
So I put all that sprinkling and all that stuff in for nothing.
Right. Thought it was a cool idea.
I think when I retire, though, maybe I'll get good at it.
You know,
we'll go with that.
This is to stop whining, and it sounds like you're starting to whine there.
So I was going to bring that Muscat wine this morning.
Right.
I'm glad I brought this one because this is a better breakfast wine.
Muscat love.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to poach some salmon in butter and wine.
Oh.
Okay. I want to melt the butter. I'm going to put a little bit of wine in the skillet. And again, I use
cast. So that's going to be a white then.
Right. Yes, it is. That's exactly right. This Sauvignon Blanc would work
That'd be great.
It'd work very well. Or, and I get that to about, it's not boiling, but give it another minute or two on a medium heat to heat up. And then just drop that piece of salmon in there. It's going to pick up the wonderful fruitiness of the wine. and the butter just keeps it from sticking because the wine will start to evaporate
right.
a little bit. But when it evaporates, the flavors concentrate. So you want it to evaporate almost all out of there.
Do you want a sweet wine or a dry wine?
I want a sweet wine because I want a little bit of that flavor onto the salmon, okay. a little bit of the fruit okay. onto the salmon, which is why this Sauvignon Blanc was good. It's kind of
in the middle. Right. Yeah, yep. It's not real dry.
Right. But anyway, and then I would put that in a skillet and I'd put a cover on it so that it steams because you don't want it swimming in there. You don't. The fish was swimming. Now you're cooking it, right? So you don't need to submerge
it. So you're going to cover it.
So I'm going to cover it in there so it gets steamed. But as that wine evaporates, that steam is going to penetrate the fish. And you know when it's done because
it'll flake. You're not going to cover it too long, though.
No. But
you actually want to evaporate as much of the water as possible.
Right. But right down near the end is when it's just a little bit watery in the bottom.
Can you overcook salmon?
Oh, yeah. But you don't have to because... It starts to flake. You
can see it change color. I don't cook salmon much,
right.
except when I'm with you, because I'm not a big salmon fan.
I'm not either, but it'd be really good with this wine, and that's what made me think of it. And a little salt, a little pepper, and then maybe cayenne, just a touch of it, just to give it a little bit of a bump.
Yeah, you know what wine would be perfect for that? The white wine that somebody left at your house.
Yeah, right.
Because you're just cooking with it.
Right.
You don't have to use the good stuff like Fen Valley. You know, somebody brings some goofy, you know, cupcake or whatever that stuff is, you know.
Boxo.
Yeah, there you go.
That Boxo wine.
Which is really great about 11:30 at night when you can't sleep. Those boxes are coming pretty handy. But that's the wine I'm going to use. So here's when I use red wine. And I haven't done this recipe in a couple years, but we talk about it. We refer to it almost every month. But my father-in-law's shish kebab recipe.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Jabor.
That has, and it's on the Grillin' Guys website. Go to thegrillinguys.com and just punch in shish kebab or Charlie Jabor, and it'll come up. And basically what that is it's going to be olive oil, lemon, red wine. It's going to have some thyme and some white pepper and a little bit of sea salt. And I think that's pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon, red wine. And then you let your it's great for venison. If you got people that are fussy about venison, it's great to marinate venison. Mm. I wouldn't marinate for any more than 4 to 6 hours. I do the last 2 hours on the countertop because meat marinates better when it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
Except chicken. You want to keep that in the fridge.
Right.
And chicken you can leave in the marinade for like a week and you can't ruin it. But this has lemon and wine in it, so it's acidic.
Right.
So you don't want to leave it in too long. I've made the mistake of leaving it overnight and the meat sucks in some... Oh, red wine vinegar. That's the other thing it's missing. The meat sucks in so much of that vinegar that it just kind of... It totally changes flavor. So,
and the texture.
Yeah.
When it's in there that long with an acidic.
It's cooking.
Right.
So it's like 4 to 6 hours, maybe the last 2 hours on the counter. But that's a great use for red wine. And again, the red wine that somebody brought over that I don't really care for is just fine for that. So people never bring good wine to my house for some reason. That's not true. Some people do and some people don't. And
right.
The ones that don't drink theirs, they drink mine.
Right.
So they leave theirs.
That's the way it works, right?
So, always. Marination, there's a great topic, and we covered it pretty well because what you don't want to do is over-marinate.
No, not at all, because it's many things in cooking are like perfume. A little bit of it is really good. A whole lot of it is overdone, and you don't want it. Right?
Yep.
And marinating is the same thing. You want to enhance the flavor. You don't want to dominate the flavor. You know, you marinate a piece of chicken. I still want to taste the chicken. I just want a little bit of flavor on top of it.
Yep.
Go right down the line with any protein that you're going to marinate.
Of course, if you get a tuna sandwich at Subway, I guess that's chicken anyway. So you can also use your wine for finishing.
Right.
And that's a really nice tip. And you can use, I'm going to go with a red sweet in most cases because I want it to be like a chutney or an accent, mm-hmm. not your chutney story.
Right.
But so there's a really good use for wine in cooking. And what you're going to do is You're going to simmer it with whatever you want, butter, EVO.
Kind of like I was talking about with that salmon.
Butter
and that
EVO,
poaching it.
Or maybe what's your favorite, lemon or Meyer lime EVO,
right.
Something like that from Old World Olive Company. Yep. Who will be in here next week when you're gone?
Yeah.
I'm bringing in the good guns
there
when you're gone.
That'll be a show you won't want to miss when Bob and Shasta, because they usually meet an hour beforehand and plan the show, and by the times their right elbows are sore, they get back over here to the microphone.
That's been a long time since we did that.
Yeah, right. But anyway, it's all good. That'll be a fun show. Yeah, I just got some work to do out of town.
So finishing with a wine, it's going to come out like a demi-glaze.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you're going to pour over it, and awesome use. And I think your guests are impressed when they see you simmering down a nice finishing sauce for, and you know, look at your salmon.
Right.
No, look at your salmon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That would be a great use for a nice sweet red. So you might have to add a little sugar to it.
Well, it depends how sweet it is.
Yep. Yep.
And you're deglazing the pan with it.
Yep.
And then it'll cook down and it'll get a little bit thick. And that's when you know it's ready. And you just and you might even do that after your fish is out of the
pan.
You
could put some blackberries in with it.
Yep. Yeah. Anything
like
that.
A nice fruit that gave it just a little bit of a fruity a little twist at the end.
Always good with fish.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, that sounds good.
Don't want to overpower it, but you don't want to.
No,
also,
but salmon can be kind of powerful anyway, so you might need to. But here's a really good use for white wine. Let's say you've got a fish that's a little strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking
trout.
Yeah.
Lake trout,
yep.
Maybe.
Take a white wine, half water, and marinate that fish overnight.
Okay.
Trout, that'd be a great use for trout because I can't think of a good reason to eat trout.
Oh, they're a lot of fun to catch in a river,
yeah,
but I get it. I get it.
The punishment's eating them.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Hey, this is Barbecue Bob. I am at Fenn Valley Winery. You know who they are. We've talked about them all the time, and you've heard this man, Brian Lesperance, on the show for years. And I'm actually down at the winery just to interview him because he's too busy making wine to come up and see me.
Thanks, Bob. I don't want to say that, but it's always good to get you out here to see the thing in real life.
Well, and today's a rainy day, and the parking lot's jammed with people. I mean, there's people everywhere, and it's like a Thursday.
We like rainy days because then people can't go to the beach.
Okay. Was that it?
Yeah.
That's it.
So actually, today's a perfect day for us marketing-wise. It was supposed to be nice, and it started raining. So everybody came up, and now they got nothing to do. But we've been really steady anyway.
So. Well, you've got a lot of events all summer long. I'll be up here on the 23rd for your event. Thanks for getting me a spot in that. Now the thing is to try and get a room in Fennville. That's going to be the trick. But we were talking about your ability to keep up, and they've got the unique problem of not being able to make wine fast enough to satisfy the demand.
Yeah, I mean, part of the challenge is that, you know, it takes a long time to go from wanting more wine to having more wine. The first thing you've got to do is find a good spot. If you've got it in your existing, you know, vineyard, even better. You got to order plants, and they're custom order. Typically, that's about a year out. And then you're going to plant, and you're going to wait 3 to 4 years before you get that first grape. So it could easily be 5 years if everything goes well from the idea that we need more, say, of Pinot Gris until we're drinking a glass of it out here on the veranda. So it's a long-term process. The good news about that is it keeps bubbles from forming, because you're not going to grow any faster than you can, then, you know, you're not going to grow your business any faster than you can grow the grapes. So it does keep things somewhat steady. But we've had a long-term shortage in Michigan as the industry's grown, in terms of the number of wineries, in terms of customers wanting locally produced products, not just wine, but everything. And it'll balance out, I think, in time. We've got a lot of new growers coming online. We're planting a lot on our farm. We're becoming more efficient at growing on the acreage we have. And so I think it will balance out, but we've definitely been in a constrained situation for a while. So we still make more white wine than red wine. But it is shifting. I mean, we're seeing an insatiable demand for good quality dry red wine. It's almost hard to know what that demand looks like, because we don't have enough. So what the sky appears to be the limit there. And as you said, alternate formats continue to be real popular too, whether it's just a screw cap in a traditional bottle, which we're pretty big into now, or a can of wine or hard cider. Consumers are becoming a lot more interested in things that are not traditional and more practical. And that's good, because it's a way to get wine in places where wine wouldn't have gone before. We can really dial in the oxygen permeation level, so you can really determine how much oxygen you're going to expose the wine to. You can't have none. That's not good for a whole variety of reasons. But the fact that you can really precisely make that decision instead of leave it partly to chance is an advantage. And we still love our cork, though. I mean, a good high-quality Bordeaux red, I think, still belongs in cork. It's what the consumer wants. I think it's still good for the wine. So it's just trying to match up the capsule, the closure, with the wine, instead of just a kind of a one-size-fits-all situation.
So maybe the cap is more popular for a summer wine?
Summer wines that are really oxidative, like a Sauvignon Blanc or a Pinot Gris, where they're really prone to just losing a lot of that crisp, acidic flavor really easily. Those are a great format. Stuff that's a little less serious, so you want to, you know, be out on the patio and not have to remember your corkscrew. That's handy.
Big problem.
I've also found they're pretty handy when you travel, because I've donated so many corkscrews to the TSA, in my days, that it's nice when you go to the grocery store and you can buy one that you know you don't need a tool to open. But I still like opening bottles of wine, and I shudder to think how many I've opened.
I think you've opened quite a few for me, so I'm not going to complain. But I'm with you. The TSA's got a few of my Fen Valley wine openers, too. I might have to grab one while I'm here. I'm kind of partial to those that you make. So what's looking good for this year, this fall?
So this growing season's been a little ahead of schedule, which is great. It's been weird, because we started out with a kind of a drought after a pretty dry winter, and then we got like a half summer's worth of rain in 4 days. So it's been extremes. But when all the dust settled, the grapes have come through it just fine. And now what we're seeing is being a little ahead. Typically, this is, again, we're playing the odds here, and we're trying to predict Mother Nature. So there's no question we'll be wrong. It's just how will we be wrong. But in general, when you're ahead, it's good, because our weather deteriorates as we get further along into the fall.
You know, I don't think people – I grew up on a farm, and I don't think people look at you this way, but really you're a farmer. I mean, you have the same great things and blights that a farm has. I mean, you're so dependent on the weather, on temperature – maybe more so than other farms, but I think where you're situated here in Fenville, Michigan, your grandpa had a great vision.
It's a special site, and in a great year, that doesn't really matter. Where the special sites make a difference are in the not great years, whether it's a cold winter or an early frost in the fall. The special sites that are high up on the hills that get good air flow off Lake Michigan with the right kinds of soils, they're the ones, that's when they really perform. And we've seen that time in and time out. We've got, just more consistency, even as we see ebbs and flows in weather, and that is site-driven. And the other thing is, what we always say is the vintage is made in September. So what we, you know, right now weather is more of a nuisance. It when we get into the ripening phase is when we really want those nice, warm, dry days, cool evenings, which we're known for here in Southwest Michigan. That's what just pumps the grapes full of flavor and gets that crisp, acidic, really specific flavors that we tend to see in our area, which is what we're really known for.
So years ago when I used to come down here and deal with Doug, your father-in-law, Doug Welsh, he would always send me back with a couple bottles of, what's your sweet winter wine?
Well, we do a couple of them, but classic port, which is a port style. That's a nice wine. That's got a really nice kind of cult following.
Amazing.
It's very typical of a sort of very traditional port out of Portugal, where they basically invented the style and the wine. It's a great wine with, you know, like you say, kind of on those winter nights. I love it as a dessert on its own, or put it with
a ski trip maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Put it with some nice cheeses after dinner, and it's just it's a really nice wine. It's also really good with cigars too. Ooh. So that's a nice way to finish the night too.
That I never thought of. Well, I'm gonna have to grab a couple bottles of that because I have a little bit of a fetish for a cigar once in a while. So again, being the farmer, what's looking good this year for you?
So I think we're going to see a really good year for the Reds because we're a little ahead of schedule. Really? We stand a chance. You know, anytime we're ahead, we stand a chance at getting a good year for Reds. The Whites are going to be a little more consistent regardless. But
and they'll harvest early maybe?
Whites tend to come in earlier, which is why they're less affected by the timing of things. But if we can stay this far ahead, which we're in that 1 to 2 week window right now, if we can keep up that pace, we'll be bringing in the Reds fully ripe, you know, by the middle of October, which is a really good thing for us. Typically, that's going to beat the snow for the year. Because once you get that first freeze, it's sort of game over, regardless of where you're at in the ripening process. So, you know, it's way too early to tell. We still got a long ways to go, but we're set up real well right now. We're definitely set up real well for a good year.
So when you get that first freeze, whatever's still on the vines, it's got to come off today.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to come off today as long as it stays chilly out. You can think of the vineyard at that point like a giant refrigerator that just kind of can hold the fruit until we have room to process it. But we're not going to gain any significant quality at that point.
It locks in the sugar level and everything.
There'll be a slight amount of enzymatic reactions that happen inside the grape, so it's not as though nothing happens, but it's the only reason to wait is just literally logistics. Otherwise, we would totally pick everything we could.
Again, this is Bob. I'm at Fen Valley Winery in Fenville, Michigan. If you haven't been here yet, I find that hard to believe because we've been bragging these guys up for 10 years, and I don't know how else to tell you. As I look out over this garden, a beautiful patio area, parking lot is, I made a mistake, it's Friday. Parking lot's jammed, and it's 3-4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I mean, there's flowers and trees and birds and just miles and miles of grapevines, and it's anything you would have seen in a movie about a vineyard other than Sideways, it's all here, so... I just tell you to go to, what's your website?
FenValley.com. We keep it simple.
Yeah, that's good. Go to the website. Check out all the events this summer and try and sign up for one because they fill up fast. I know somebody here, so I happen to sneak into next weekend's. But it's just a special place, and it's one of those Michigan things. And if you like wine, you're not gonna go away disappointed. Brian Lesperin's Fen Valley Winery.
Thanks, Bob. It's always fun to visit.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A man, man, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law is made up by Trevor Swanson, our brilliant producer, because I forgot the man law, and he just pulled this right out of thin air. Today's Trevor man law is, it's not unmanly to drink wine.
That's right.
That's like Confucius could have come up with that one.
Right. And it is
or Chuck Norris.
It is unmanly to whine about it, but it isn't.
Right.
But it isn't unmanly to drink
Alan
wine.
Alan Bob's is all about the big lake fishing,
yeah.
And they actually even have a charter captain that works there who will take you out on the big lake. And I am definitely going to hook up with him. I just invited Jop to go with me. And
he whined about it.
He whined about it, yeah, because he doesn't do so well on the water.
Apparently, if it's smooth,
yeah.
Then I'm good.
Yeah. Lake Michigan was like glass,
right.
Said no one.
Right. Yeah, but if I get more than a 2-foot chop, I might be making bait.
No chop for Jop.
That's right. I'm not the best wave guy on the big lake. I'm just telling you right now.
Well, I have never had an issue with that, but I did take my son Alex out when he was about 12 on my buddy's boat, and he started getting seasick. And like young dads are, I was not thinking. I said, well, you better go down below.
Wrong. Yeah, absolutely wrong.
Because then you're cleaning up puke down below.
Right.
And you want to make me puke? Make me clean up puke.
Right, yeah. And the thing is once you get down there, you lose vision of the horizon, and everything around you is left, right, up, down.
And I love that.
And it exacerbates the situation.
I love that. See, I think playing in the haylofts and...
I don't know. You used to like sleeping on the ground, too, so maybe you'll get over this as well.
But. No, but I mean that motion and stuff. Driving a tractor as a little kid and swinging on ropes.
There's no waves on the tractor, dude.
No, I'm just saying the motion part for me was never an issue, and I think it has a lot to do with what you do as a little kid. And we did a lot of risky stuff. You waited till you were in your teens to do it. I've heard the stories already from your friend. I spent last weekend with Sherman, so I've got stories, Jop.
Yep, we wrapped a cutlass around a tree.
That's not the one I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
So go to Alan Bob's, get hooked up for big lake fishing. Dude, you can even fish off the pier. Holland, Saugatuck, Grand Haven, Muskegon, Ludington, Manistee.
Name them all, Bob. There's three more.
You know what? South Haven,
right.
Chicago.
Right.
Hey, what's that little port? Anyway.
In the storm.
Yes.
Right.
And then also, for me,
right.
Like this next week, I will be setting up my new expedition tent in my volleyball court because I am not playing volleyball.
Yeah. And I do an expedition to the backyard?
I got a big 14x20 expedition tent, and I got a deal on it. So it does not have a roof jack, so I'm going to be—
What's a roof jack in a tent?
It's— just like it is in the house. It's
Do you like crank one up?
Something you put a pipe through.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So I bought online this brilliant company out of, it's called Bear Paw or Bear Claws out of Colorado, makes awesome expedition tents. They hooked me right up. And you just have to cut a hole. You have to cut the hole kind of accurate.
Cut a hole in a new tent.
Yeah.
Great.
And
great.
Then,
this story is starting out really good right now.
Here's the instruction from the factory. I said, do I have to stitch it on or is there an adhesive? The guy said, well, you can stitch it, but honestly, if you use shoe goo, it's the best thing you could put on there. And I've used shoe goo to fix shoes before. You ever use it?
No.
No, you're big money. You just throw them out.
I just buy some new shoes, Bob. I don't goo my shoes
up. I have had to repair lots of teenagers' tennis shoes.
Yeah, right. That's why I don't have children and you
have
five.
I've never had the money to throw shoes away, Joppy. I was born in these shoes.
Yeah, they kind of look like it, Bob. Maybe they're back in style, though.
And they're bigger.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks for joining us on the Don't Stop Whining show.
Right.
Make sure you check out Fen Valley Online, and make sure you go down to Allen Bob's. And next week, you'll want to check out Shasta from Old World Olive Company, because she's going to be oily.
She's sitting in the driver's chair next week, man. It's going to be good. But, hey, you've been listening to Grilling Guys. Thanks for tuning in. This was a wild and crazy show. We were all over the map, but I hope you picked up something
There's
out of it.
There's a change.
Right. And, yeah, some things never change. But get out in your backyard, fire up a grill, create some grill envy, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.